Hello and welcome. Good morning. And yes, my voice is a little bit weak today. I apologize for that. Hopefully it'll strengthen up as we get going through today's program. I, like pretty much I think everybody, is got the big C last week, and I'm fine now and rolled through. It wasn't fun, but it wasn't terrible by any stretch. And so I'm left with a little bit of weak voice. So hopefully you'll help us out here. I won't have to talk all day. It's 580-543-6580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. But I'll tell you what, this has been an amazing time in the markets. And I think it's interesting to listen to people talk and to think about different things. We're going to do a Zoom meeting next week. And so we've been talking also about what kind of message we want to deliver. And of course, me being me, you know, you stay in for the long term and it's going to be okay. And all of that is true. I mean, I'm not making fun of myself. It's all true. But during this time, we don't feel like that. It's that, but Biden, but what's going on around the world? I get it. I get it. Tough. Super. No doubt about it. Things are different. They're always different to a degree. Always. What's not different is that markets adjust and they come back. And what I want to talk about in the second hour is how normal this is, even though it doesn't feel at all normal. Like, isn't this volatility horrible? Isn't it a little bit weird? No. It's normal. What's been abnormal is the market going straight up. With no volatility since March of 20. Straight up. That's weird. 28% last year. 18, even after we went down 35. That's insane. Straight up. And now, for the month of January, we're having a normal correction. And it feels strange. But I get it, because you know what? It felt strange before. It's such a weird, I don't know, a dystopian world, right? Is that quite the right word for it? Where we watch the president not be able to complete a sentence? I don't mean once. Almost all the time. He can read the teleprompter. A monkey can be taught to do tricks. It's not cognitively aware to be able to read a teleprompter. I know, I get it. Everything from Afghanistan on is terrible. And it is. And the market kept going up. Finally, we have a correction. All right. That seems more normal. But we're still way up. And this is what we miss. And I'll go through this in the second hour today in quite a bit of detail and talk about this. It's not just perfectly normal. The market is discerning. Very well. Strangely well. So, well, I mean, it's up and then it's down. It's up 1,000 points. Hey, you know what's down a lot? Really garbage stocks. The meme stocks, GameStop, cryptocurrencies, stuff that doesn't really have value. And I'm not saying crypto couldn't be a home run. Maybe it will. It could be, but for us to try to value it, it makes sense. Those things are off 50%, 80%, 90%. There's some real companies out there that are off 50%, though, and more. Real ones that aren't going to go away. Anyway, we'll talk more about that in the second hour. Let's go to the phones. Spinner, fire away.
Good morning, sir. Hey, thank you for taking my call.
You got
I'll try to keep it short and sweet. So with the Federal Reserve definitely pushing towards the digital currency and the Great Reset, I was curious what your professional outlook is between the difference between the Federal Reserve digital currency and Bitcoin, and what separates the two, and how, as such, I've been talked to from many people that have invested in Bitcoin. They say it's the people's money. They say, you know, it's finally a way for us to not be regulated, but the Federal Reserve wants to do the same thing. I'm confused in it. You know, it seems like a good bait and hook. You know, I see a lot of people being successful in Bitcoin, but I'm just, it doesn't make sense to me in the longevity of it pretty well being the same thing.
Well, when we're talking about the Federal Reserve, everything is, of course, done at the Federal Reserve level is done with digital. I mean, it's not like they print all these trillions of dollars. They're just on the balance sheet, right? They aren't actually out there printing the money and counting it and make sure we have only those bills out there. It's not what they have. That's not what they do. So they're making digital entries. What's that?
Is that due to evolving from going off the gold standard to where we don't have, other than a monetary value and using it as a fiat currency in the trade of oil? I mean, we don't really, other than oil itself, we don't really have anything else to back up the dollar. I mean, other than what you buy on a day-to-day consumption, right?
Well, there's nothing that backs up any currency other than the belief that that government will exist and be able to pay its debts. I mean, there's, you know, Russia has bonds, China has bonds, America has bonds. Our bonds happen to be the ones that people consider to be by far the safest. Zimbabwe has bonds, okay? But nobody will buy them, right? Because they don't think it's worth anything. The peso has to issue, you know, Mexico has to issue 20 or 30% bonds. Why? Because we know they're going to devalue them by at least 10%, maybe 20. So there are people that won't even touch them anyway. I don't care what interest rate you put on it. If you're going to devalue it by 10%, then whack 10% off of it. That's what they do. That's what happens in the markets. And we collectively, as a market, that's the beautiful part of it. We decide, I don't want anything to do with pesos at all. I don't want anything to do with the yuan. I want the U.S. dollar, and I only want short-term or long-term. That's the beauty of the markets. Billions of bits of information, literally, are disseminated, thought about, not by each human being, but collectively, about the whole market, about the whole supply chain, the whole thing. That's the beauty of the freedom of the markets and why central banks can't control. So as we look at this, I don't have any problem saying the Federal Reserve doesn't want cryptocurrency. I don't have any problem with that at all. I think that's a true statement. They don't want freedom of choice for individuals. They want to be able to control. It's a natural role of government. I don't want you to be able to act autonomously from me when you're in my kingdom. That's a threat to me. Now, we say as Americans that's what we want, and there are many people that's exactly what we're fighting for, right? But the reality is the world doesn't. Name another country that doesn't want to control it. Name a bureaucrat that doesn't want to do that. Name a president.
How did we go so far from the ideal, you know, as a young man still evolving and trying to learn? You know, I was raised in the ideals of land of the free and home of the brave, and more or less I find out that it's land of the lies and home of the elitists. And this idea of money being just Lord Bufo Almighty, the cure-all, I get very confused on it. I watched a documentary a while ago on YouTube, The Zeitgeist, and understanding how bonds, Federal Reserve, more or less, that era works. You know, I've done some research with Senator Rand Paul, just trying to get, how do we get a currency that actually is the people's money so that way we're not controlled through a society and we actually are free? You know, because, I mean, through life itself in America, the typical ideology is to keep up with the Joneses, live your life through debt, and you'll be happy and successful. You know, how do we persevere and conquer that mountain to actually give people freedom in the choice of what they do and how they gain their finances and not have to constantly worry whether it's going to collapse, or is that just the world we live in and is that what we've evolved to?
I think it's the world we've always lived in, okay? I mean, this is probably a topic we could go on for hours, honestly, right? You know, about what's gone wrong on every rail. But certainly every single society, whether it was Rome to America, we're hanging in there, okay? But they all fall. They all fail. And every currency has. So I'm not saying it won't.
Right.
When Europe has been wiped out. I mean, like, oh, you're a millionaire. No, you're a zero. You have no money. You're wiped out. And then it starts over in the family. It's not like it's handed down generation to generation. Now, that's why people like gold, for example, when there's turmoil, because I've got this stack of stuff that they hope is worth something down the road, but it's not worth anything unless I deem it to be worth something and want to buy it for 25 chickens from you. Currency. My point is that it's always been that way, Spinner. This is not new. It's something that's unfortunately what we have to live with. And I don't think that there's a way around it of saying we ought to have the people's money. That's great. But who are the people? Are they the people of the world? Is it a world currency? Who are the people? And that's where we're always going to find it. You know, boundaries, barriers, or whatever you want to call it between countries. We're in a great position as the United States to be the world currency. There's no doubt about that. That helps us. Keeps interest rates lower,
right?
But that is no guarantee it'll stay that way, and that there won't be some other global currency for trade that comes along. But global currency for wealth is the United States right now. Okay, Spinner, I got to roll. I'm sorry. Thank you for your call.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Have a great rest of the day. Bye bye. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. We got to take a quick break. Jim, Ben, I know you rang right in there, but we're going to be having to grab you in the second hour. So if you prefer, call back. But otherwise, hang on. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hope you'll join us in hour number two for Money Matters. Again, I'm going to be talking about how actually I think the market is very, very discerning. It's been very, very orderly decline. Doesn't feel that way. I get it. 1,000-point moves, maybe two of them in a day. Doesn't feel at all normal. I completely get that. It doesn't feel normal, but we're back to normal volatility. It's what markets do from time to time. Corrections are normal. And what I like seeing is underneath, is high quality still worth more than junk, or is it all falling the same? We'll talk about that and much more after Fox News at the top of the hour. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back after Fox News. Good morning, and thank you for joining us. And once again, I'm sorry my voice is not that great. This is the residual of my battle with corona over the past week. But, you know, it's something everybody's going through, and just about everybody I know has had it now. So I guess we're all going to get it. Just like, wow, that's weird. They said that 2 years ago. Oh, by the way, I got to let people know, because this is really weird. There's climate change going on right as we live. It's amazing. In January, there's going to be a winter storm. I just want to let people know that, because I watch the news too. But January, there'll be a winter storm in January in the Northeast. It's odd. It's just, we get to see like history in the making, you know? It's amazing. Stunning. These are my opinions and my opinions only. We are not here to tell you what to buy, or sell. That's stupid. It really is. It's not entertaining. It's misleading. It really is. Markets are not that hard. And when we say you have to stay the course, it may sound trite. It may sound like that's all you got, man. That's it. What do you think you're going to do? get out for a while, sit on that cash for a while. Everybody says I want to get in low. Okay, well, what if the stuff you liked 3 months ago was cut in half? You still don't buy. Because nobody does. It's this thing that it could get worse, and I want to catch the dead bottom. And then I want it to go straight up with never an interruption the rest of my life. It's not the way it works. Now, intellectually, we know that. But when we're trying to live through it and go through it day to day, we don't feel that way. And as we look at this market, it's very, very discriminating. High-quality stuff, down less. Low-quality stuff, blown up. Stuff that shouldn't be, looking like it's going to go bye-bye. It's very discerning. It really is. We'll talk more about that. But first, let's go to Jim. Jim, go ahead, please.
Hello, Dave. What's happening?
How you doing today?
Fine, thanks. How you doing?
Good. Well, I'm okay.
You may notice that this call is extremely good quality. I'm using a landline and a Princess phone. But I also had what I consider the...
A Princess phone. Is that like, is that a pink phone? Or is that...
Well, actually...
Does it come with a wand?
It does seem like it ought to be pink. It's black, but they do sell still Princess phones. I also have a rotary dial, but... but anyway, I had kind of a C the other day, of a couple of weeks ago. It's called a cold, you know?
Yeah.
Certain illnesses are necessary to the human body. You talk about regularity, like with the stock market. Well, the same thing with the body. The body has got to flush itself out occasionally, and the best thing to do is take rest and, you know, what nobody does these days. But mainly, I mean, I wasn't calling for anything intellectual. I'm not too intellectual most of the time. I wanted to mention one item that combines both government efficiency and addiction to a so-called new technology. Now, I heard the other day on the news that this lady in Michigan won $3 million in the lotto, right, lottery.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of weeks later, she found out, because she was going through her spam folder and her emails, right? Now, if you won $3 million, don't you think that would be worth a personal phone call?
Yeah, you might.
I would certainly think so. I mean, that's asinine. But yeah. Anyway, so the stock market, I don't know. What can you say? I mean, people need to know about equities and about companies that make toilet paper, and when there's a run on toilet paper, then they make money and the stocks go up and all this good stuff, right?
Well, they do. They go up. Well, everything went up last year, whether they made money or not.
Unfortunately, in my humble opinion, the drug companies are the ones that are making too much money. You know, I mean, everything's drug, Pfizer and everything else. You know, there's a shot for everything and all this stuff. So
yeah. Well,
but if Ben's on the old line, I mean, there's nothing more for me to say other than, well, okay, I was going to make a comparison. You talk about people being kind of down because the stocks are down now, but last year they were up tremendously, right? So maybe you should tell people to just reflect back on their past statements. Okay, now my analogy would be like BSU, right? Football, Boise State University. Okay, now, the Fiesta Bowl, right? Maybe that was 2006 when they beat Oklahoma. And any time the football team is down a bit, I'm sure that all these BSU fans whip out the old DVD and remember the good old days when they beat Oklahoma in the Fiesta Bowl, right? So
yeah.
You just tell people when the stocks are down, pull out your old statement and reminisce.
That's right. There you go. True. All right.
Take
Jim,
care.
You have a good rest of the day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. Dave at PetzelFinancial.net. Hey, we got an email here, and I'm not going to actually read it. Jim, thank you for sending it, because it's really, it just tees off exactly what I'm going to be talking about. And that is the market being normal? So maybe I should... go ahead and read it. Okay, fine. It's Joe. Sorry about that. I said Jim. Hi, do you think that the correction has been somewhat orderly so that there will not be massive margin calls? Joe, thank you. Good question. Yes, I do. I think you probably knew that at this point because that's what I've been kind of pitching that I want to talk about. I'm going to give a couple of examples. The market's off, let's roughly call it 10%. We touched correction territory. But it's not off 10. Small cap stocks are off 20. Full-blown bear market. Full-blown. Many tech stocks are off 50, 60, 70%. Real businesses. Real ones. I'm not talking about some IPO that nobody's heard of that flamed out. There's plenty of those. But when we go through the market and you look at it and you say, well, SPAC, everybody's talking about SPACs. You know, it's like, well, everybody's got to have all of these nice little, you know, their own verbiage, if you will, right? We've got our SPACs and PEs are so high and blah, 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 right? And the currency fluctuations and crypto this and crypto that. In other words, we can't talk normal. No industry can. There's reasons to talk in terms like basis points and stuff like that, currency fluctuations. They're within our industry. But it isn't that confusing to simply say high-quality stocks are holding up way better. Some are barely down from all-time highs. But SPACs, which are special purchasing vehicles, corporations, special purpose acquisition corporations. Now you got it? Yeah, I don't either. Call it SPAC. It's a way to take a company public and avoid a lot of the disclosure rules. Doesn't that sound like a good idea? So lots of money came out and these things worked because, hey, genius Bob over here once made $1 billion doing computers. Now he's going to do a new whatever. Because he's a genius, right? He's a genius. Once doing this business thing, it worked. So he's a genius on something completely unrelated. Perfect. I line me up for that. Just line me up. That's perfect. Who doesn't want to play in that? Well, if there's so much money floating around, there was. Earning zero, and it was, is, still. It's going to go places. And the hotter something is, the more people, I got to hurry and get on. FOMO, fear of missing out. I want some of that. Give me some of that. Open up my Robinhood app. Give me 0.0 shares of Google now. I want $10 on the Knicks. Oh, wrong app. Just a second. Give me $20 on GameStop. Insane. It became a gambling absurdity. Well, what do? Well, I'm a paratrooper in the military. But during the day, because we got a lot of downtime, man, I trade crypto. Okay. Cool. That's what people do. Guess what's blown up? That. It always does. And it always has a little bit of overflow into, quotes, the market. What does the latest EV, right? See, we got to put initials and everything. Electric vehicle. Don't I sound cool? Right? Because I got just a cute little initial for everything. Everything was a SPAC doing EVs, electric vehicles. And they were red hot. The hottest last year was Rivian. That's a real company. They have a real factory. They were making real electric vehicles and selling them. and people like him. Came out in an IPO, red hot, hottest of the year. And then the stock ran even further, ran clear up to $179 a share. It's at 54 today. This is a real company, by the way. Trading about half of what its first initial public offering price was. About half. A real company, but it was all on hot air. And so many of them are not even close to having a vehicle or an app for music or whatever else it is they're grappling for. And their SPACs came out at $10, ran to 30, and now they're at 3. On their way to zero, quite probably. All of this is very, very discriminating because you also have some of the stocks from, whether it's Zoom, forget about Peloton, they make bikes, okay? That's not, everybody can make a bike. But it's a good example, isn't it? Of how people can get carried away, like, yeah, everybody's going to have a bike and hang out of their basement, but they'll be able to climb the Himalayas. Like, that's the same thing, same experience. It is if you never want to see another human being, like in person. But Zoom was there before and will be there, is there, like for the rest of our life. Will they have competition? Of course they will. They already do. They already did. They came out and just like took Microsoft out and went, boom, we kill you. You guys didn't improve on this whole thing for all these years. Cisco, boom, we kill you. We're going to make this easy. There's competition already. They came in. They did great. Their stock is down 75%. Zillow, 75%. Teladoc, 80% from its highs. Teladoc. Well, I don't want to. That's because we're not going to see doctors, you know, on the, like a TV set anymore. They actually have to put their finger on my pulse. Yeah. And they were in business before the pandemic. They'll be in business after the pandemic. And that expert that has that special talent focuses all their energy on some very, very rare disease. But they're in Houston. Your kid gets to see him in Toledo on the TV. That's not going away. But those companies got too expensive, and so the market took them out and went, boom, and shot them. You're too high. Stop this. Nonsense. And then the momentum picks up on the downside, right? It's like, kill them. And it gets overdone. So are we seeing margin calls to your question? Yeah. From some individuals that overlevered their GameStop and SPACs, knew they were going to make a fortune, and borrowed money to make it even more exciting. As with all things we get, and from time to time when markets correct, that's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing about letting the economy correct too, by the way. One of the great things I worry about long term, are we actually going to let economies fix themselves? Because we've got to. Sometimes they get carried away. They're not very smart. We get excesses. And we need to grind those out. Will we always try to rescue the economy? I worry about that. Like, oh, we can never have a recession again. Then we'll always grow too slowly. Because we'll never carve out the disease. We'll never peel out the rot. Never. We don't let those things go away. SPACs off 70, 80, 90%. IPOs that shouldn't have come, came into a red hot market, are blowing up. this is good. This isn't bad. It's not bad at all. People trading in crazy stocks on crazy apps, spending their life in social media trying to figure out if they ought to try to get after some short seller on GameStop, they're gone, or almost gone. But Apple comes out last week and announces fantastic earnings. And the market finishes the week ahead. S&P only off 10%. NASDAQ off over 20%. Some of the junkie stocks off 70% plus. Very discerning. Very discriminating. But in the day-to-day, we don't see it. When people are just chasing after electric vehicles. Oh, they're an EV. Boom. I got to buy it. This was mentioned on Reddit. I'll buy it. Stocks at any price is not a way to invest. But quality, when you get an opening. You know, this past week, you could have bought Amazon more than 20% off of its all-time high. Amazon. Yeah, that's the company that you order your whole house full of stuff from. Well, I read this analyst who said, I read about how our fiat currency, I read about how Joe's going to take away our 401k. I read about, and when I was on there on the internet, again, I'm in there at Sanbury Research, and then I go in this hole on the left, and then there's another ad, and pretty soon I'm in there, and I'm going, wow, I need to buy gold now. I mean, it's all going to heck in a handbasket. And I've done my research. I'm a researcher. I'm just digging what I believe, digging into the negative, digging into what I already know and believe. And I got more data to prove exactly what I've been believing for the last 10 years. You ought to know how smart I am on what I believe. We all do it. I'm not just making fun. We got to be careful with this. We act like we haven't faced this kind of stuff before. Like, oh, boy, this market is just like nothing I've ever seen. Well, to a degree. To a degree. That's always true. Why? Because the world's changing. I don't know how many times I can say this, to say it's crazy. We've got a completely incompetent president and administration. And last week, week before, proved that they're so tone deaf that they swear to goodness they will not change anything. We know this isn't working. We know it's causing inflation. We know all this. But we're not changing. That was Joe's great speech. Knowing how great my work was this year, we're just doing a bad message of it. People just misunderstand. How great I am is not the tone of somebody that's going to shift. But great corporations are going to work around that. That's really my point. Always have. Always have. All right. Sam, please hang on. I got to take a quick break here. Our number is 580-KIDO. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436 is our number. Let's go ahead and go to the phones. Sam, how are you today?
Hey, I called the other day, and you told me to call back, so this is your fault.
Okay, good.
you got to take responsibility for this.
All right, I'll step up then. Okay.
As administrations go, Eisenhower was still alive when I was a kid, so that'll tell you something. And as good, bad, and incompetent goes, I've seen a bunch.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, these guys are trying to monopolize stupid, but probably the worst one I've had to endure, I think. But at any rate, that's not what I called about. I just kind of came up when you're dialogue. But,
I know. It's hard not to be get to go down that road. It is. Go ahead.
Oh, that's all right. Years ago, there was a market collapse. What was it, 2005, 2008? I don't remember.
Yep,
I was young to the market, and Ford dropped to a dollar. I think I got it at $1.78.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought hundreds of shares. I'm like, this is Ford. Come on. I mean, it's Ford. You know, and it just like tanked. It just tanked. And I thought I was being pretty smart. And I think I was being pretty smart.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody convinced me to sell calls because you can make a little extra money
mm-hmm.
selling these calls.
Mm-hmm.
Son of a gun, if somebody smarter than me didn't pay. I had to sell all them shares.
I know. Yeah, you made a little money and gave up a lot.
I made $200.
That's right. There you go.
Something idiotic like that, right? Because somebody smarter than me said, hey, this is Ford.
Yeah.
This call option here is cheap. You know, it was more than I paid for them, but...
Yeah, I know.
I came home from work and I didn't own any Ford anymore.
Yeah.
Because I was smart enough to sell a car.
Do you know, I had, it's true. It's one of those things where it's fun to, yeah, we've all done that. I mean, I've done it. I'm in the industry and I've done so many things that I go, oh, I didn't even think about how that could go. Right. And so you learn over time and that's, so it's fun to look back. But, but the reality is that we also recognize, why am I doing something I have no idea? Because some guy on a bar stool or some guy who I work with in the welding plant is like tells me you ought to do calls. Like they know anything. And I'm listening to them like they're the doctor. So
we have a lot.
We
have to reinvent the flat tire every generation for some reason. I looking back now, see, I'm an older guy now, and I look back at that and I'm like, why did I, like you're saying, it's like, why did I listen to this?
Yeah.
Why did I even listen to this? There were other people around that were telling me, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, you don't understand. You know, these options. This is how you make some extra money, blah, 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 blah. And shoot. What a bunch of stupidity. I mean, I guess there's a place for all these options. But I'm not the dude to be doing this stuff. I think I mentioned it the last time I talked to you. They try to convince people to be traders.
Yeah, they do.
What are you doing? You need to buy value. I mean, why do you buy Ford? Well, they make cars, and I like their cars. And you know, it's a good product, and it's a steady company, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they've had their ups and downs. And I'm not trying to push Ford or anything. It's just an example. But the companies that I buy into, I look at them, and I'm like, I like what these guys do.
Right.
And I understand what they do. I don't even know what the heck Zillow is. You know, I mean, that's one of the ones you mentioned before. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
I'll buy Zillow. I don't even know what it is.
Right.
What do they do? I have no idea.
People do it all the time, and they don't even know who their competitors are, and then they go out of business. And they go, this Wall Street thing is rigged, I'm telling you.
Right.
What do you mean it's rigged?
Well,
you didn't even look into it. Yeah, but that's how we define instead of saying.
I have a couple that, and then, you know, they haven't done well. And there's some of the things I don't have any of these facts. I don't even know what it is, but I looked at a couple of companies that I ran across that they're making some things, and I'm like, you know, that's pretty cool. I want a piece of that. It may never amount to anything. I mean, I don't have big money in it. I'll buy $1,000 worth or $2,000 worth of this and then just see what it does. You know, and I, you know, I don't want to lose $2,000, but sometimes you do. And, well, you know, I liked what they were doing. I knew what they were doing. It didn't work. What are you going to do? To me, that's an honest investment. It's not gambling, because when you gamble, the only way you can win is if somebody else loses.
Mm-hmm.
If you're actually investing, if they win, you win. And if they lose, you lose. You're taking the same risk with them. And to me, that's a win. That's how you should do it. You shouldn't be gambling and making your money at somebody else's loss.
Mm-hmm.
Because that doesn't, there's no production there. There, you know, that's a net zero.
Yeah, there are zero sum games in investing, okay? So it's not all the same. We talk about it all the time. We can all win. We own Apple. We all win. That's it. There's not a loser on the other side. It's just we win.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But when you're buying and selling, for example, oil, any commodity, frankly, that's the way the commodities markets work. It's called a zero-sum game. So if you made $10,000, the professional on the other side lost $10,000. because it's 90% controlled by professionals. So if you think you're that good and you're going to beat the professionals, A, you have a really distorted vision of yourself. And so you need some therapy, seriously. But B, that's a zero-sum game. So there are some out there. And also I would argue as GameStop ran to $150 to $200 a share, it became a zero-sum game because there were going to be people that lost as much as people at that point. It's because it's not, you know, the company didn't justify that kind of valuation. It was a game at that point.
Well, it's like flipping houses at some point. You know, you've got people, you can buy a house to live in it, you can buy a house to rent it out as an investment, or you can gamble with them.
Right.
And I know some fairly wealthy guys that when the housing market collapsed back, I don't know, like I say, 2008 or whatever it was, they bought 6, 7, 8 houses. They had the money to do it. But they still own them. They weren't flipping houses. They were grabbing bargains.
Right.
Because they could, and they still own those houses, and they built, you know, they built some apartment complexes and stuff at the bottom of the market. And now they're, you know, they're making bank on that, and they have been, because they weren't gambling.
Nope.
They recognized bargain, and they bought it.
Exactly. Sam? Have yourself a great day.
Yep. See you later.
Thank you. Bye. And our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back after Fox News. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436-580-KIDO. I know my voice doesn't sound very good today, and I thank you for putting up with that. But I'm getting stronger, and I'm on the backside of the big COVID. So that's good. Now I'm bulletproof. How about that? Terry, how are you today? Go ahead, please.
Oh, fine, sir. I'm glad you got over the COVIDs.
Yeah. I'm still a little tired. I got to be honest. This thing is weird.
Well, it's good. See, well, we'll just chalk it up to seasonal affective disorder. Get yourself some vitamin D and a B12 shot, and you can't golf this time of year anyway.
I know. It's a strange thing. I'm very, very fortunate. I just don't tend to get sick. And so this is not my normal thing. I just figured, it's just like the normal thing. The rest of the world will get sick, but I won't. Wrong.
Yeah. We all have our time and place. It's going to happen.
That's right.
I got two things. And the first one is a question about you were talking crypto with Kevin, young Mr. Miller, earlier today.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And do you know what the most used medium of exchange is for illicit or illegal acts?
I assume cash.
The $100 bill.
Yes.
So if they want to do the U.S. dollar token or whatever they're going to do to take over, then they're going to know where all the money is anyway. And I would rather have a stack of $100 bills than have the government know where my $100 bill is in their computer.
Right. Yeah, it's true.
So, but on the economy and all the inflation and everything, is there so much money sloshing around from all the largesse that the burr that's been going on with the printing press? And coming off the sideline, that we can't hold a decent correction anymore? I mean, there's a lot of excess that should be coming out of the market. It goes back to, Glenn Beck was talking about the Federal Reserve and what they did back in 2008, and the actual numbers were released from a Freedom of Information Act declaration. It's smoke and mirrors how much money they actually put out there. Are people actually putting this money to work finally, or is this a rotation going on? Or again, I don't know what the market's doing these days. That's why we hired you, Eric.
Yeah. I think that Terry, the thing that we have to recognize, it's hard to all the time, because as I think about our Zoom meeting coming up this next week, right, and thinking about what I want to talk about, and you know, the most dangerous words are, this time it's different, right? John Templeton famously said that. And that's true. But it's also true that it's always different. It always is. There's certain things with technology and directions politically. All these things make things different. But what we have to do is try to take that tenuous balance that it's different and it's not really different, and find that tension between the two. And the example I'm trying to give is that we look at reasons why the market went down in 08 or went down in this, and what looks like that today is the wrong type of correlation. What we did coming into this and what happened with the individuals in all these meme stocks and all this money that was sent out, and people are sitting in their basements and the government sends them money. They don't have to do anything, so they're bored to pieces. So everybody starts gambling, and that's what they did. And so they started taking their money, and so collectively you say, well, who cares about a couple guys with $5,000 in their account? Well, 5,000 times a million is starting to get into some real money, and how about 10 million people? How about 100 million people? And you start seeing that money in the market, and then suddenly with social media, we can say, well, I wonder what would happen if we attacked a short seller, right? And so all these guys recognize that GameStop is nothing more than Blockbuster. And for those of you who are young, Blockbuster was this great company that you went and actually you bought movies and you rented them as well, but you had to go pick it up. And you had to bring it back.
Netflix came
right.
Along.
It's not all digital. Now it's all digital. And say they were. So when it got digital and Netflix came along also to make it like, why would I leave my basement? And they made it cheaper. Then all of a sudden, you're in a circumstance where, poof, they're gone. This is GameStop. And now everything's digital. I don't need to go get a game cartridge. But so they were correctly beating it down towards zero. But now, if you force them out because you're starting to roll forward. So these stocks, all these people collectively, social media, pushed it forward. That's what's different about everything else. But it's not different in the sense that these are stocks that have sustainability. It's not different in the sense that the people doing this have no idea what they're doing. Right? I have no idea. I'm a helicopter repairman. I don't know what I do. I just have a lot of downtime. You know, I'm in the military. I don't do anything most of the time. And so I just sit around. And so I bet on the Knicks game and I bet on GameStop. And it became this. But those people can't make a living doing that. You can't make money doing that. That's not the markets. Well, and so they take those out and shoot.
You can make money, but, well, the nature of life is there's somebody out there smarter than me or a bureaucrat that's going to take a hunk of my money no matter what happens.
Right, right. And so that's
what I might try to give it up to somebody that will at least give me back a good portion of it when the game is over.
Right, and I'm not saying that, look, you know, I'm the same guy that I very well. I like a good craps game. It's fun to play once in a while. Different ball game. Go into that world. You're done. You play a little bit, you leave. It's not what you do with investing. So I don't have a problem with that, but I do have a problem with thinking that we're pretty smart because we made a couple of bucks when we're just lucky.
Yep.
And that part is what's different, Terry. That's what's different about this one than past ones and why it's real, why these companies were driven up to crazy price levels is because new people came in the market with their $1,000, $10,000. And that's okay, but they're now being killed. And then we'll wash that out, and then we'll move forward to the next crisis.
A whole bunch of things going through my pea brain here, but you never take the house payment to Nevada.
Right.
And you, now I just lost the chain of thought here. When you're going on, I'm sorry, David. I just went blank. There.
That's all right. It's all right. It's good. It's good. Terry, you have a wonderful
for me now.
You have a wonderful day. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you, David.
You take care. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. I think what we'll do is let me take this one. Now, let's go to a break. Let's take a break. We're gonna get our final break, and that'll give you time if people do want to ring in 580-KIDO. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, that's our number. And we do have a little bit of time left. So with that little bit of time, first of all, Mike, thank you for the email. Mike asks, what is the definition of a bear market? Sort of like that, okay? Does it have to be down for a week, a month, a year, more than 20%? And the answer is no. It's technically on the close of that day if you're down 20% or more. then that index is in a bear market, even if it lasts a day, which might have been the case. We'll see. I'm not saying it. Market goes, I don't know what the market's going to do. That's what's strange about this. And I want to get back to this one simple thought, okay? How we behave determines how we do in investing. It's so much more than anything else. And it's so much smaller in our thought process as to what's important. We think about all the time, well, I don't know, should I have more bonds? The 60-40 is broken. Yeah, we talk about that here all the time. We don't own bonds. You can't make money in bonds. Why am I buying a negative real return? What's real return? I want to drive this point home. It's so important. Because here was the headline this morning in the Wall Street Journal that knows better. Wages haven't gone up this much in 21 years. Wow, that sounds awesome. That's the headline. Now, in fairness, the article actually dives into the real data. Very good. Do you know how many people read the real data? Almost none. Do you think the boneheads that sit around and read the news, whether it's 3 minutes long or 2 minutes long, here in, at the top of the hour, or it's the lead story in 24/7 meltdown world. Do you think that they take the time to do anything except read a headline? Oh. So nobody does. So why is that the case if we've had the best wage increases in 21 years? Why do people think that Joe and company is losing it? They're terrible. I know, because they can't put a sentence together. But it's more than that. Why do they think they're terrible on the economy? Because they are. Because the only thing that matters is real money after inflation. So how did wages do last year in the highest increase in 21 years? They lost the most since 08. Because if everything costs 7% more, but you give me a 4% raise, I go, oh, goody. I only have 3% less money. That's so great. Thank you. Thank you so much. I can live a little less this year than last year. That's why the only thing that matters is real. And so when we're earning zero in our bank accounts, zero. In a 6% world, we're losing 6% a year. Now, I grant you, you lose it safely. It's safe. But that market, it's just crazy. It's 1,000 points. Yeah. And I just heard that there's like climate change. There's a winter storm in the east this year. It's all bad. It is all bad. It's all bad all the time. That's what news does. If we can't behave, it's the whole thing. A cup of coffee a day for the past 40 years is $1.2 million. If you left it in, $6,000 a year in a Roth IRA for 40 years is over $4 million tax-free dollars. This isn't hard, but we turn it into, oh, gosh, should I be long, short? What allocation should I have? Should I pull it to the sidelines? Oh, we do that. Is all that important? Of course it's important. It's what we do. Asset allocation, what looks cheap, what looks dear. We're going to move it around. Is there a time to own bonds? Maybe. But I bring this up to say it's about your behavior. And it's not being helped by media, ever. It's certainly not going to be helped by the people that pimp products, high commission products, on fear. Wall Street's not a casino. It's a phenomenal vehicle to wealth for the average person, for the low-end person. Getting 2% a year in a 6% world isn't going to work. And you know you don't get market returns without risk. You know that. If you want to know more, go to our website. We have a 12-minute video that explains why equity-indexed annuities won't work. They can't work. They won't work. But there are no regulations about scaring people. There are no regulations about, apparently, about lying about getting market returns without risk. You got to watch your behavior and watch all the inputs because they're trying to scare you into bad decisions. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.